Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So if you've been following our Montana Talks website, I've been kind of sounding off on a couple key mayoral races taking place here in Montana this November. Ballots are already out across Kalispell. Ballots are already out across Billings. But yeah, two powerful women, two strong women stepping up to lead two of our biggest towns here in Montana. Keisa Davison running for mayor of Kalispell. Jennifer Owen running for mayor of Billings. I'll tell you what, so great to see these women stepping up to lead these two very important strongholds here in the state. But another topic I've been wanting to talk about is jails, our jail space here in Montana. This is a topic we've covered a lot over the years. It, you know, you talk to Sheriff Jesse Slaughter in Cascade County. Jail's full. You talk with Sheriff Linder in Yellowstone County. The jail's practically full there. They're working to get creative with how to get people behind bars, etc. But this is a common refrain all across Montana. The jails are full. I'll tell you what, the other day I got a chance to do a tour. Big thanks to Commander Jenny Root of the Flathead County Detention Facility. Got an incredible tour. Got to meet her and her incredible team there working as detention officers. But wow, I'll tell you what, a new jail is so desperately needed in Kalispell right now. We've got on the phone lines with us, great to get a surprise phone call here this morning from Sam Nunnally. Sam Nunnally is on the Kalispell City Council, and if I'm not mistaken, Sam, you're also a member of the Sheriff's Posse in Flathead County as well.
Oh, thank you, Aaron. Yes, I was a member for over 20 years. I was a reserve deputy for quite a bit of that. And so I've seen the impacts of the jail and what it means today to get a new jail.
Yeah. How would you describe the jail in about a minute or so? Because to me, it is very cramped, very crowded. I can't believe these detention officers are able to do as good of a job as they're able to do maintaining security in such a tight, crowded situation with all the various hallways and, you know, scattered rooms, et cetera.
It is really tight in there, and yeah, it's a struggle. And I know the last, Frank mentioned that the basement had a lot of space, but, you know, that was taken out 15, 20 years ago when IT had to expand and OES had to move up to the 911 center to make that transition. The kitchen's down there, shooting range, sure, but it is really tied up in the spaces. And I can attest there are times that, yeah, you've got to call in and say, can I bring this guy in or not, right? Or do we have space? And those numbers can fluctuate, right? You can say, oh, you can hold all these inmates. You don't have that many, but you don't know the mental health conditions. You don't know their medical conditions. You don't know the security reasons behind why you can only put one person in a cell that has more beds than one.
Yeah, the mental health impacts on our jails, I think, is people don't understand how significant that is and how it really wreaks chaos on the whole system. Hold that thought. We'll come back to you right after the break.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got lots of great callers on the phone line, so we'll try to do a bit of a lightning round here. But great to have Sam Nunnally kick off our statewide show here. Sam, I'll talk more about the jail here a little bit later in the hour in the tour, and really why we have got to get the handle on this mental health crisis in this country as well. But also, if you can, just give our listeners a sense of how important these mayoral elections are that are going on right now, city council elections, mayor's races in Billings and, of course, in Kalispell, how important it is, because you sent me a message about how the left is trying to regain a foothold or take over a new foothold to push their agenda, even in conservative strongholds like Flathead County.
That's right. You know, if they can flip Kalispell to even purple, Whitefish is already blue, Columbia Falls fairly purple, but if they can flip Kalispell purple, that can shift the tide. And when you look at that across the state, Flathead is that stronghold. You've got to carry Flathead for a statewide Republican win. And if they flip it purple and they start that momentum and the money starts flowing into the Flathead to support the Dems, we're gonna have a hard time holding the state. And I've heard a couple of the Democrats actually say that that's their plan. And we've gotta get ahead of that and in front of that. And because of that, we've got to support Keisha Davidson and Jed Fisher and really move in the right direction as we're making these votes.
Yeah, I saw the Flathead Republicans are also endorsing not only Keisha Davidson for mayor, but also Kyle Voigtlander as well for the city council. Yeah, and Bozeman, the Gallatin Republicans have made some endorsements there. Roger Blank, Eli Anselmi, and then the Yellowstone Republicans have endorsed a whole slate, including Jennifer Owen for mayor there. Well, Sam, thanks for calling in, and we'll have to get you back on for a longer amount of time here, too, when we don't have several other callers, because it's always good to get your insight on how important these municipal elections truly are. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. Let's go next. We've got our friend Tom Opry back with us here. Tom Opry, you guys know he's a Flathead Valley filmmaker, really an international filmmaker, a wildlife filmmaker. As soon as Caden might be answering a phone call right now, but as soon as we get him transferred in here. But you guys remember, he is the filmmaker who put together this film, The Real Yellowstone. And he traveled all across the state. Remember when he was in Lewistown? And what did they have? They had like a theater booked and reserved for something like 200 people. And then they had to add a whole nother basically room so that 100 more people could watch the screening of this film, The Real Yellowstone, which, you know, kind of highlights the threat of the American Prairie Reserve and what's doing to our ranchers out there, et cetera. Okay, Caden, are our phone lines getting overwhelmed again here? What's up? Send us our next caller here, because otherwise I could have kept the conversation going with our last caller there. Let me see here. Maybe I'll just try to call Tom from my my personal kit here, get him on the show that way if our phone lines appear to be getting overwhelmed here again. Let's see. Tom, are you there? Do we got Tom Opry with? I got you. Okay, good. Tom Opry, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Aaron. How are you doing this beautiful, wonderful, sunny day here in Montana?
It is a beautiful day. Last couple of days in the Flathead, holy cow, seeing some snow on the ski runs, but sunny, warm weather down below. You couldn't ask for it to be any better, could you?
No, you certainly can't. That's why we call it God's country.
That's right. Hey, our listeners, they are, you know, most of our listeners are familiar with your film, The Real Yellowstone. You're back out on a statewide tour. But before we get to where you're going to be next, give just a quick recap of what your film, The Real Yellowstone, is all about for those who aren't familiar with it.
Yeah, you know, that's The Real Yellowstone is a documentary film. We spent the last 2.5-3 years working on it. And really what we look to do is give rural folks a voice. And so this was a multi-series of films. We did one in Africa called Killing the Shepherd, and then we did one in Scotland called The Last Keeper. Both of them are on Amazon right now. And this film is about, you know, Montanans and Wyoming folks and a few Idaho folks and just that relationship that our ranching and farming community has with the land and the stewardship that they're doing out there and the fact that we've got a population here in America and even here in Montana that's very urban-based. You know, they don't live out in the countryside and don't realize that the issues that occur every day have real effects on not only, say, wildlife, which you're interested in, but also on those rural communities and those ranchers and farmers. And so we're now living in a world where we've got people dictating, say, bear policy that have never seen a bear track. And so our goal is to really educate those folks, and we're actually planning a screening in the U.S. Capitol. It's going to happen in January, and just getting our delegation all lined up for it. And it's been a great, great run right now, getting that grassroots energy out about the film. And so we did Billings, and we did Bozeman, and Missoula, and Whitefish, and all the big towns and cities in Montana. But there was a huge outpouring of folks in the more rural parts of Montana that wanted us to come. And so we went ahead and put together a 12-city rural Montana tour. And we started off last night in Anaconda at the Washoe Theater. And tonight we're going to be in Victor at the Mary Stuart Rogers Performing Arts Center at the high school there in Victor. And then Sunday we'll be heading over to Lewistown. We'll be at the Judith Theater. And from there it just goes on. We're going to be in White Sulphur on the 28th and Ennis the 29th, Big Timber the 30th. November 1, we're going to be in Red Lodge. Mile City on the 3rd, Wolf Point on the 4th, Glendive on the 5th, and I'm finishing all up in Sydney on the 6th. So folks, go to shepherdthewildlife.org. You can click on the tour and get a ticket, and also get tickets at the box office of all the theaters in those towns.
Hey, very cool. Great summary, including with the website of where to go to get the full list. Tom Oprey, thanks so much for calling in. Back right after the break. Stand by.
With National...
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Susan in Missoula, plus we've got Greg in Great Falls on the phone lines. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. If you got something you want to talk about here, we've got the phone lines open for you. Let's see, back to Tom Oprey here before we get to Susan in Missoula. Yeah, Tom, you mentioned how you're taking your film, The Real Yellowstone, back out on tour. And what I really appreciate about your film is, you know, because you're a sportsman, you're a hunter, you're a fisherman, and you remind the sportsman community in particular how important our farmers and our ranchers are to improving wildlife habitat. There's a reason why so much of the big game wants to hang out on the so-called private land. It's because that's where the better habitat is at, right? But you've been having a lot of these conversations as you've been talking to, you know, not only do you show your film, but then you have a panel discussion afterwards. What have been some of the more interesting discussions that you've been having with these panel discussions across the state, maybe even as recent as last night?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question, Aaron. And so, you know, you're hitting the nail on the head here. I mean, at the end of the day, wildlife doesn't live in cities, obviously, and it doesn't even live on the tops of our mountains here in Montana and the Rocky Mountain West. Because it covers our snow and ice most of the year. It lives on fertile ground. It lives on fertile ground with people. And our ranch and farming community, I mean, they're the stewards of wildlife. And we've got to make sure that they have an opportunity to, you know, be incentivized to take care of it. And that's a lot of questions. You know, we had some questions last night where folks are asking about American Prairie and, you know, the state of Montana and all that. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, there's a lot of politics involved. But, you know, if we want to leave the land better than we found, if we want to make sure our kids can see and do the things we do, or even our great-grandchildren, then we've got to be really good about taking care of these ecosystems. And that's one thing, as Montanans, our farmers and ranchers, for the most part, do a pretty dang good job. And as sportsmen, we need to realize that, because there are some issues out there. There's definitely some friction points. And over access, you know, we're hearing about that. You know, a lot of people from out of state buying up land in Montana. We're seeing it all the time. And those opportunities to get out in the field are definitely been limited if you've been here for 20, 30 or generations, you know. It's an issue. And so, you know, building those relationships up with those ranchers and farmers and being an asset to them, having a friendship, I mean, it takes time. And our sportsmen, they got to really not forget that, because at the end of the day, there are some friction points right there. And we've got to make sure that we're all working together towards a common goal. And, you know, one of the greatest things that we're going to do on this tour is we're going to allow any young adult students that are interested in agriculture, wildlife habitat conservation, environmental science, we're going to get you in the door for free. So any of you kids or parents that are listening, grandparents that are listening to you guys, definitely know that we want to see a pretty good, you know, large number of kids come to these events, because for the most part, the demos have been skewing north of 55, which, you know, that's the majority of the people that own land.
Got to reach that next generation. So, you're exactly right.
People in there.
Yeah. And hunting is becoming, I think, more and more popular once again with the younger generations. Tom Oprey, The Real Yellowstone is the film. Check out his Shepherds of Wildlife website for the full schedule of those showings that are going to take place all across Montana once again. Definitely great to take part in. I got to go myself. The other thing, too, that Tom's phone call reminds me of is we've got such a great opportunity right now with the Trump administration in Washington. You know, one of the things they're talking about is opening up federal lands for grazing, for cattle once again. Well, we know that that grazing is good for the land. It's better land management on some of these federal lands, which also ends up being better for wildlife at the same time. But we've also got an opportunity with the Trump administration. You know, I was in Libby recently talking about how many of our public lands have been shut off for access because of the radical environmentalists and the roadless initiative and things like that. Well, we've now got an opportunity to open that access back up now with the moves that the Trump administration is making. So, Tom, thanks for calling in. Great to hear from you. Next up, let's go to Susan in Missoula. Susan, what's on your mind? Thanks for calling in.
Well, first of all, I know Tom very well from being in the Outdoor Writers Association for many years, and he does great work. Anyway, I am actually calling because I'm a lonely conservative in Missoula, Montana. It's very hard. I mean, what always really upsets me is we actually, and I don't know what it, I know other parts of the state had those, what I consider to be demonstrations that really scared the liver out of me on Sunday. I don't even want to name what they were, but we all know what they were. We had 10,000 people that were basically saying, I hate America, I hate the military, I hate law enforcement, I hate the U.S. Constitution, I hate Donald Trump, whatever there is to hate, they hate America. And we have Veterans Day coming up on November 11th, and it just really terrified me. I didn't go near downtown Missoula, and the reason I called in today is that we have a mayoral election. We have one conservative that is courageous enough to stick his neck out. He is the manager for Montana Glass in Missoula, next to the Pavarello Center, which has become an absolute bane of everybody's existence, because the people that have been kicked out of the Pavarello Center are the ones that are on drugs and alcohol. They're not allowed in the Pavarello Center, so they camp around the Pavarello Center and gump up everything. So most of the businesses, including the business that tries to raise money for the homeless shelter, can't even do business. And the one and only business left that hasn't left their location is Montana Glass. Their manager is Sean Canope. He's a very courageous man. And he is running against, and I'm not going to name the mayor, the incumbent. I don't think he has a big chance, but anybody in Missoula who's listening to this show, and there are a lot of them, I don't know if you know that, Aaron.
Oh, it's crazy how many people listen. I always just think it's just, you know, me and my friend Susan and, you know, Jerry and Circle. It's just a few of us friends having a little chat here, and then I get out and travel the state, and I'm amazed at how many people we get the honor of talking to.
No, there are a lot. But I really hope that they will get out and vote. This is a midterm election. I don't know what the current dismal amount of people have been that have voted, but we really need them to vote, because their vote really, really does count. Sean Canope is up against an incumbent, and 70% of the people in communist Missoula are communists. So he's up against an extremely difficult path.
So Sean Canope is his name. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah, because I know folks in Missoula are still going to want to know who to cast their vote for. Yeah, it's crazy. In Missoula, you've basically got Sandy Vasica is kind of the lone common sense voice, very smart young woman who's on the Missoula City Council right now. You might get onesie twosies, some, you know, more independent thinkers from time to time. But what a powerful voice she is, though, even though she may only be the lone voice. But yeah, kind of back to this goes back to our earlier chat with Sam Nunnally out of Kalispell, and how important this mayoral election is in Kalispell and in Billings. And, you know, here we just heard from Susan in Missoula, and what a mess parts of downtown Missoula are. And I said this when talking about, you know, the importance of Jennifer Owen running for mayor in Billings, Keisa Davison running for mayor in Kalispell. Unless you want to pay Missoula-style taxes and suffer under Missoula-style policies and in Billings and Kalispell, now is your chance to support these two women stepping up to lead. All right, I think we've still got Greg in Great Falls on the phone lines. I apologize for the wait here. But, Greg, thanks so much for calling in. Greg, what's on your mind? What do you want to share with folks across Montana?
Hi, thanks for taking my call, Aaron. I just wanted to cover some information on Tony O'Donnell. I first met Tony O'Donnell at a veteran stand down years ago when Matt Rosendale was first running for Congress. And I talked to Matt for a few minutes there, and then I saw Jeff Bestman, and I spoke to him. And then I saw a couple of guys stand there in the back of the gazebo. It was in North Park. And I went over and introduced myself. One of them was Tony O'Donnell, and he was stood there with Aldo Rowe. And we talked about certain things and, you know, different issues and stuff. And then I don't know how many years later it was, Clifton Berkeley invited me to the Lincoln-Reagan dinner when Alan West was speaking a number of years ago. And I walked around, I ran across Tony there, and we spoke again. He remembered me, and I went back to my table and sat down. I'm sitting there pretty much by myself, and here comes Elsie Artinson, comes over and sits down by me, and we were talking there. And then afterwards, I talked to Tony and said goodbye and stuff, and talked to Alan West and stuff for a minute or two.
So what stood out to you?
You know, Tony O'Donnell was sharp. I mean, he was spot on. He didn't make any, you know, he had all the answers, and you know, he's a real nice guy. He remembered me, you know, that's the thing. He's got a memory like an elephant. He doesn't forget anything, but no, he's a great guy, and I would definitely endorse him. He's a great guy.
Right.
So I hope he does.
Yeah,
does
he is.
Well.
He is running for those who aren't aware. He is running for the city council seat, one of the city council seats in Billings right now. So yeah, thanks so much for calling in. By the way, man, you mentioned some names there. I'll tell you what, Aldo Rowe. What an incredible American he was. It was so sad when he passed away. I think it was earlier this year. Clifton Berkeley, another great American. I think he originally grew up in northeast Montana. A couple of great guys.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
Yesterday, President Trump took to Truth Social, calling out ranchers and taking credit for cattle prices. In the statement he made on his social media platform, he said, quote, "The cattle ranchers who I love don't understand that the only reason they are doing so well for the first time in decades is because I put tariffs on cattle coming into the U.S., including a 50% tariff on Brazil." The president continued in writing that, quote, "If it weren't for me, they would be doing just as they've done for the past 20 years, terrible. It would be nice if they would understand that, but they also have to get their prices down because the consumer is a very big factor in my thinking also," end quote. Now, this comes as a scheduled press conference with the president and secretary of agriculture was canceled. They were planning to make a big announcement around the future of cattle ranching in the U.S. That announcement was canceled. Of course, this all stems as cattle producers across the countryside oppose President Trump's plan to import more Argentinian beef to lower the price of beef for consumers. The National Cattlemen's Beef Association says that they cannot stand behind President Trump while he undercuts the future of family farms and ranches by importing Argentinian beef. They added that it's imperative that President Trump and the Secretary of Agriculture, Brooke Rollins, let cattle markets work without government interference. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, you better get powered up because we got several great callers on the phone lines. And then when those phone lines free up, That's your chance to call in and be heard all across Montana. Oh, I better go check the app messages. You can also message us on the Montana Talks app as well. So let's see. But, yeah, speaking of getting powered up, go to drinkpowerplus.com. And if you want to get powered up, you can save 15%. Just use the code FLINT15. Use the code FLINT15, and you'll get 15% off Power Plus Pain Aid. You go to drinkpowerplus.com, 15% off with the code FLINT15. Now you might be saying, Aaron, what is Power Plus Pain Aid? Well, it is that. It is power. It's an energy drink plus a pain aid at the same time. Natural pain-relieving vitamins. And the whole product was created by a Marine Corps veteran who lives in Big Fork, Montana. DrinkPowerPlus.com. All right, let's go to Gordon in Kalispell. Next up on the phone lines. Gordon, what's on your mind?
Well, I've got a question on the new Justice Center complex. According to the local newspaper, there's a request for a zoning change to encompass that project. And what I'm wondering is, first of all, I'm no construction management expert, but how is it that they could create this project with all the planning and so forth and so on and not know where their power is coming from or the sewer? In the estimation of costs, there would be two alternatives to me. One would be on-site and for the sewer, for example, and then contracting for electricity. The other option would be going to the city, and I would think that those two alternatives would have substantial different costs. So that's my question is, why did we wait so long to enter into some kind of an annexation agreement with the city with respect to power and sewer?
Yeah, that's a good question. In fact, I'm hoping maybe next week I'll get a chance to have the commander of the detention facility and maybe and or the sheriff join us on the show, talk more about the jail that is on your ballot in Flathead County. That's a good question. I know, you know, they've been talking about the need for a new jail for quite some time now. And Gordon, thanks for the call. They've been talking about the need for a new jail for quite some time now. And, you know, it's kind of one of those things that now they figure, okay, if we don't do it now, the cost is only going to continue to go up. I mean, look at the cost of building. I mean, take the Montana Historical Society. I think they're about to open up the doors on that here pretty soon. And remember, you know, every delay, how many more millions of dollars it was going to cost to build that facility. So all I can say is, man, after I went through that jail and did a tour myself, and by the way, you can go to flatheadjail.com and book a jail tour yourself. I was going to their website to look for more information. But yeah, not only could I get a tour, but apparently you could get a tour as well. They have a book a jail tour button on their website. But all I can tell you is, man, when I went through that facility, I tell you, you know, they desperately need a jail where the detention officers can have full visual on all of the inmates, more of a fishbowl style visual. Right now, it's basically a series of hallways, a series of corridors, one built upon the other over time, and obviously there's a series of camera systems to keep their eyes on these inmates, it's just crazy. I think about it from a security standpoint as a veteran. I'm a guy who likes to sit kind of, you know, with my back to the wall so that I can see who's coming in the door and who's at all the tables at the restaurant, for example. And man, it was just like I felt like I was constantly kind of looking over my shoulder, having to watch my back because there's so many different rooms and so many different corridors that are in there. And now there's so many criminals that have to be left out on the streets because they simply don't have the room for them in the jail. And then when you look at the mental health crisis in this country, and you look at the way under former Democrat Governor Steve Bullock, they decimated the mental health services in this state. And so now you've got crazy people filling jails that should be in, you know, a state mental institution, for example, and I know we as a state are trying to rebuild that capacity right now, but you might think, oh, well, I've got this many beds available. Yeah, until you throw the crazy guy into one of the rooms, and now the crazy guy has to take the whole room, and you can't fit the other people into that room, so you've significantly curtailed your jail space. And, yeah, I was walking down one of those hallways, and you could just hear a guy just, just screaming and yelling. And then, frankly, when you see some of the people there that are struggling with mental health issues, you feel so bad for these folks because you know that really they need to be somewhere in a mental institution getting help, not sitting in a jail somewhere. Maybe we'll get some more Q&A on that very topic next week. Let's see, Jason in Polson next up on the phone lines. Jason, what's going on?
Hi, good morning, Aaron. Yeah, I just wanted to reach out and inform the people of Kalispell that there's a candidate for mayor, Sid Dowd, and he's born in Great Falls, okay? Proudly served in his country in the U.S. Army for 13 years. He married a woman, okay, his high school sweetheart, and together they raised three children, okay? 2006, he settled in the Flathead Valley. In 2016, he decided that somebody else isn't going to save the country for him. He had to become involved and support the issues, including these, the United States Constitution, its Bill of Rights, and the form of core principles, okay?
That all sounds nice, but then last year he snubbed President Trump. And he's consistently run against conservative candidates to try to help get the Democrats elected. And that seems like what he's doing in the mayoral race in Kalispell right now.
So if those Republican or, quote, conservative candidates are going against those core values, then by rights, you should run against them. I would say that we have to be careful that we don't run as a party in lockstep, as the Democrat Party does. Okay, we have to run on principles per item, per situation.
Yeah, but Dawood's not a Republican. Dawood's not a Republican. He's one of these, you know, libertarians, so-called libertarians that support open borders oftentimes. And what's one of the biggest problems in this valley? Illegal aliens. So, and he ran against John Fuller. John Fuller is one of the most principled conservative folks that we have had in the state legislature, still a state senator right now. So he ran against principled conservatives, not some squishy, some squishy moderate.
Sure. Well, I'd like to just voice my support for Sid Dowd for mayor of Kalispell. I believe that he's the best candidate for the job.
All right.
Thanks for the time, Aaron.
Hey, no, thanks for calling in. Yeah, hey, that's why this is here. I get to say my piece, you get to say yours, and other folks can weigh in as well. Jason, always great to hear from you. Thanks for calling in. 406-294-0970. Who do we got next, Caden? Oh, Fred in the Flathead, I think, is next up. If you can patch Fred through to us here, he might be answering a phone call. Oh, there we go. All right. Fred in the Flathead. Fred, what's on your mind?
Hey, real quick, support the Flathead Jail. Incarceration reduces crime. 20% of the people commit 80% of the crime. On these local races, if you live in an unincorporated area, these races will really impact you because it's where you shop, it's where you go. So they're really important. I have a little property in town, and I encourage people to donate and get involved. Pay attention to what these candidates say, or not what they say, but what they do, what's in their background. These races matter. The Democrat Party, it's not your father's Democrat Party anymore. They're are way out there. They run stealth candidates in these local races. They use them as anchor points for higher office. Libertarians are just another form of stealth candidate. They're for open borders. They're for vagrant shelters. They're for people sleeping on the streets. I'm hyper-vigilant on this. We lived in a county area near a small town. That town went from blue-collar, common-sense city council-type people to crazy leftist from West Los Angeles. I didn't even recognize the town when I left. I mean, it still looked the same, but they outlawed natural gas. They outlawed gas small engines. So, you know, in Kalispell, I don't know Kisa, but she seems like a solid person, a solid business owner, what she's done. seems to have made the town better, and it's a clear choice. You don't want the guy that wants to Portland, Kalispell, and Libertarians, just not an option. That's not an option. These little local races really matter. Your vote really counts. Oftentimes are decided by, you know, less than a couple hundred votes. So end of comment.
Well, and Fred, I think you sent a great message on the Montana Talks app earlier this morning. I'm trying to quickly scroll through and find it while I chat with you here. But I'll tell you what, if you can, stand by. I'll come back to you after the break. I'll see if I can find the message in the meantime. If not, I'm sure you remember what you sent, and you can send it again over the airwaves here in just a second. Stand by. We'll come back to Fred, and then I think we've got Scott in Billings next.
Montana.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, so I shared this on X last night as well. Unless you want to pay Missoula-style taxes and suffer under Missoula-style policies in Billings and Kalispell, now is your chance to support these two women stepping up to lead, Jennifer Owen in Billings and Keisa Davison in Kalispell. And let's see, somebody in Billings commented on X, at BCLou52 says this, Billings needs Owen. We need to distance ourselves from the woke and liberal candidates and grow Billings in the right direction. Yeah, Yellowstone County is doing very well, but Billings itself, Billings proper, is actually struggling when you look at the numbers. And so definitely time for some bold leadership like Jennifer Owen, if you ask me. And then when it comes to Kalispell, Fred in the Flathead, I think this was you on X, if I recognize the Twitter handle here, at Cadillac Psycho on X. Even the non-city residents in the Flathead should support Keisa Davison. If Kalispell falls to the left, the whole county could flip. That was a really good point that you made about how these bully pulpits can be used by the left to cause, you know, more problems across not just the county, but I would add the whole state.
Yeah, these races, really, local races, really impact you. And they use them as anchor points. They kind of run stealth candidates because they're nonpartisan races, and then they move on to higher office. And, you know, I was even thinking of the little town we used to live in. I remember back when I was a kid, you know, I later learned there were some great people running that town, and I later learned, oh, you know, some of those were Democrats, but that today's Democrat Party isn't those people. They're not your blue-collar workers that supported, you know, loggers and the oil and ag industry, which was not loggers, but oil and ag was prominent in our area. No, you have to look at the areas where they're full and full bloom in the big cities that are blue. That's what you're going to get. And they purposely go to an area like this. They use a strategy they did in Colorado. They get on these local races, these nonpartisan boards, and they use them as launching points to larger office. And even if they don't do that, they impact your quality of life because you have to work. You shop there. You work there. Your kids do activities there. Vagrancy becomes a problem. There's a whole host of things that they do that impact you. They get to appoint people to boards, and they just have an outsized influence over your life if you're in an unincorporated area. So I encourage people to get involved.
And then we see how the fake news media operates. Oh, well, the mayor of blah, blah, blah town says this. And they will elevate certain voices like that to try to give this appearance of where Montanans actually stand on the issues. And so they use that really as part of their media propaganda to paint a false picture of where Montanans actually stand on issues by cherry-picking certain city leaders and things like that, and especially to use as surrogates in campaigns. I could see where they put another fake, phony moderate up for a congressional seat, and then, well, the mayor of Kalispell says blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's just the nonstop phoniness that we see out of the fake news media. Fred, great to hear from you. Thanks so much for calling in. Great to see you on X as well. I think we've got Scott in Billings next up on the phone lines here. Hey, Scott, what's on your mind? Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, hey, good morning, Aaron. First, I just want to thank you for your service and for everything that you guys do. This Montana Talks program, great program, listen to it every day. But
you're too kind.
A couple questions I have. couple questions are primarily national related. One is just on oil reserves. I was just curious if anybody's heard anything about whether Trump is replenishing our oil reserves after Biden and his administration diminished them.
They're talking
and
about
the other
doing
question
that.
Is
they are talking about doing that because the price of oil is going down. In fact, I just paid $2.99 a gallon yesterday. That was nice to see. And then Denver, somewhere in Colorado, they had $1.99 a gallon spotted. But yeah, that's one conversation that I know they're having that conversation about potentially refilling the SPR. What's your take on that, or what was the other topic you wanted to get to as well?
Well, my other topic is the Waikato Delta in Alaska. My wife has witnessed firsthand after the typhoon, some of the rural villages up there have been literally destroyed. And people from those villages have been evacuated and moved to other towns. And I was just curious as to if anybody knew why Trump has not declared that a national emergency, if it's not, I mean, I realize it's a smaller population, centralized population area, but I guess just more support up there in that area.
Yeah, when you mentioned the typhoon, I remember seeing some of the imagery out of there. Yeah, villages totally, you know, coastal villages is totally underwater. And then I think was it a C-17? They landed and got a lot of the villagers out of there and kind of rescued them. That was a powerful photo of the folks packed in that C-17. Now, I don't know if you've seen this yet or not, but I just pulled up a press release from the Alaska Congressional Delegation. Alaska delegation applauds President Trump's approval of federal disaster declaration for Western Alaska. It sounds like he just approved yesterday $25 million in federal disaster aid. So I don't know if you had seen that yet or not.
I have not. That is reassuring. I'm glad to hear that. So.
Well, give our best to, if you got family and friends up there, definitely give our best to the folks up there and let us know if there's anything our listeners can do to help. So, yeah, either way, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much, Scott in Billings, for calling in. We're going to have more open phones time tomorrow, Freedom Friday, here on Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk and be heard all across Montana.